This is America on the Road, winner of the International Automotive Media Conference Gold Medal Award for Radio, and now in its 24th year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. And we have that, the latest, not just information, but the latest information from around the world. America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com and the Coalition for Vehicle Choice. I'm Jack Nerad. With me is Chris Teague. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing quite well today, Jack. How are you?
I'm swell. I'm here on the West Coast in California. You are in Maine, I believe. How are things in Maine today?
We are deep into beach weather, which is where I will be tomorrow, enjoying it quite a bit.
Well, it's painful because they have closed the beaches in Los Angeles County. And, I happen to live in a beach city where the beaches are closed. So I guess pandemics are not good things, are they?
Not at all. But I will count this as maybe one benefit of living in a state with only 1.5 million people.
Yeah.
Out across a huge area. So
I've got more than that, on my doorstep practically here. So there you go. Well, thanks for being with us. Of course, you write for DrivingToday.com, as I do, and a bunch of other websites. We both write for Forbes.com as well, and various this, that, and the other things. In the road test segment today, we're going to be looking at the Volvo V60 cross country. I was driving that. Chris, you were in the Lexus GX460. Is that not correct?
That is correct.
Yeah,
beautiful dinosaur of an SUV.
Okay, yeah, we'll talk about that. I had some experience in the GX more recently as well. Our special guest today is a guy named Brian Bell. He is the marketing manager for the Ford F-150, and a brand new 2021 Ford F-150 was introduced just moments ago. Well, not moments ago, but not too long ago. And we talked to him about it at length, so we will have a very in-depth interview with Brian Bell of Ford on the F-150. Some fascinating stuff to talk about there with that vehicle. Before we do anything else, though, let's take a look at the week's top stories. What kind of news do you have for us, Chris?
Well, you just mentioned the F-150. It's the elephant in the room for many reasons. I think it'll be an interesting truck to see, but it'll be exciting as well. The technology and the reveal really got me going, and then the hybrid powertrain is worth talking about too. But I think the big story there is the interior. The Ford has really stepped up the game with the F-150. I think that if the final production model looks as good as the renders and the photos we saw in the reveal, Ram will have quite a battle on their hands for interior quality and technology.
Right. I think the technology story is pretty interesting, too, all the way around. Hybrid powertrain, a lot of other things, including the ability to use the powertrain as a generator and, to power a lot of different stuff. So interesting stuff out of the Ford F-150, and we'll be talking with Brian Bell about that at some length later in the show. Another thing that's going on news-wise is that sales are coming in for June, and sales aren't quite as dismal. In fact, they're not as dismal as a lot of people predicted. They are certainly down versus June of last year, but they're probably going to come in maybe 10-15% down, not the 40-50% below last year that some people were fearing. Even as in some areas people are getting more concerned about COVID-19 again, and there's some business closures. At least they haven't extended to car dealerships in most areas that I'm aware of. So car sales are actually moving right along.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the effects that the pandemic has, not just on car sales, but on the activities that car dealers do. I have a friend who works for a dealership marketing firm. They handle social media and print, advertising, that sort of thing. And they're saying that they're seeing a slight bump. Dealerships are starting to feel a little bit more confident as things go on, and they're spending a little bit more money. Obviously, it's not the heyday that it once was, but that's going to be the case probably for a while going forward. So hopefully things start to look back up. But as you said, they're not as bad as people thought they would be initially.
Yeah. And it just one of the things it shows you is that car buyers aren't like typical people out there. I mean, they're actually more affluent than the typical person on the street very often. And another way that's being indicated is the car transaction, the individual transaction price of a new car continues to go up. despite the fact that I guess officially we're in recession. So that's interesting as well. And this has been a pretty darn good time for used car dealers. A lot of people don't want to get into public transportation these days, so that's giving a boost to the used car game.
Absolutely. They're actually starting to see some bumps in the used car prices. So, you know, more people are buying, but the supply hasn't caught up, even with the kind of dump into the market from Hertz and other rental car companies. So that'll be an interesting thing to see as time goes on.
Right. We're also, as you alluded to with the Ford F-150, we're seeing some vehicles being introduced now. And it's kind of the new normal is a webinar, you know, something online where a bunch of journalists are tuning in to maybe a live press conference or maybe something that's canned. And then we get the details on the vehicle. And the most recent one I saw was for the Kia. This is going to be a new name for you guys, the Kia K5, which is the new name for the Kia Optima. They have decided to go a different direction, and you know, that's going to be a pretty exciting car. There's some interesting things about it that are different than the sister ship, which is the Hyundai Sonata.
I agree. It'll be, looking at it, it's a 2.5-liter turbo four-cylinder engine, and Kia and Hyundai both have an excellent dual-clutch gearbox, so the K5 is going to get 290 horsepower with that incredible dual clutch. So it should be a blast.
Yeah, it's kind of indicating to me that Kia is taking a sporty direction. We talked a bit about the Kia Stinger a couple shows back, I think, and went, well, it's kind of doesn't really fit in with the rest of the Kia line, which is just fine, but not necessarily sporty or performance oriented. But it looks like with the K5 and with the configuration you talked about, they're going that direction. And that's probably an interesting way for them to go and differentiate themselves from Hyundai.
Totally agree. And I'm all on board with it. I think Kia makes us a great car. The Stinger was a blast. And this car, if it has any of the balance and the refinement, it'll be just as fun in a smaller package.
Right. Yeah. Well, we look forward to driving that. In fact, I would say there's probably a dozen cars that we look forward to driving that we've heard about, seen, reported on. We've done everything but drive them, so that's the next step. Well, when we come back, we'll be road testing a couple of vehicles, the Volvo V60 Cross Country and the Lexus GX460, so stay with us for that. With Chris Teague, this is Jack Nerad. You're listening to America on the Road, and we appreciate the fact you're with us. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. This is Jack Nerad back with you with Chris Teague, and it is road test time on America on the Road. We each week road test a particular vehicle. One of the few things we as automotive journalists can still do is drive cars and then tell you about them, so we have done that. And this week, I think we've gone a little upscale here. We've got the Volvo V60 Cross Country. And Chris, you were driving the Lexus GX460. Tell us all about that.
Well, as I mentioned or alluded to before, it's a big, beautiful, although beautiful might be in the eyes of the beholder, dinosaur. So it's you know, it's been around for a while. It hasn't changed a whole lot over the years, but 2020 has brought a brand new grill to the front of the vehicle. So now it's a giant grill, big enough to almost climb into. There's some new standard driver assistance aids and a new off-road package. So the version I tested was the luxury GX460. It starts around $65,000. Had a beautiful red leather seats, very comfortable up front. The second row captain's chairs were very good. I drove the same vehicle, the 2019 GX460, last year on a road trip in Tennessee. At that time, my six-year-old daughter said the back seat was uncomfortable. It was too close to the floor and didn't have enough leg room. Not surprisingly, this year she's a couple of inches taller and the seat's even more uncomfortable for her. So I think the third row, even though it's there, should be reserved for very tiny people or very short trips. Otherwise, I think that, you know, Lexus has done a good job of keeping it relevant. It's a body on frame SUV, so it's, you know, kind of rough and tumble, a little bit of truckiness underneath, but if you want to go off road and you want a nice SUV on top of that, I think the GX is a great choice. What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you, we had a GX maybe 4 weeks or so ago, and it's one of those vehicles where I think it's really showing its age, right? I mean, maybe it's just me, or maybe it was the time I drove it, but it seemed, as you say, very truck-like, not particularly refined, and just all around, I went, wow, this is striking me as I have liked the GX before, but I just think maybe time has passed it by. And there are other better choices in that segment these days that give you better ride quality, for example, better ergonomics inside, easier to use array of controls than the GX. It just struck me as nice try, but maybe there's others that are better.
I agree. My daughter, both of them in the back, it's too bumpy to read, too bumpy to sing songs, that sort of thing. I think that, you know, Lexus fanboys, if you want to call them that, or Lexus fans will be satisfied, but there are better choices. And from a technology standpoint, I think they haven't done enough to keep it up to date. The infotainment system based on or very similar to Toyota's Intune. At least Toyota started including Apple CarPlay in most of their vehicles. It helps kind of get around some of that awkwardness. But the GX is not one of those vehicles on Lexus's list. And it could be infuriating to use. Some of the menus are very hard to get around. And it's just very distracting to do anything when you're in motion. So I think that I agree with you on that front. And you know, I use the word dinosaur. And I think that that's a fitting word for what it is.
Well, there you go. So didn't love it. I guess
I didn't love it, but I didn't dislike it either. I think that there are things I could find to like about it, but you know, it's maybe 6.5, 7 out of 10 attempt.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I wouldn't disagree. I was driving the Volvo V60 cross country, and it's one of those pretty idiosyncratic vehicles. For one thing, it's kind of a station wagon. I know we shouldn't, you know, utter the words station wagon anymore. It just brings up horrible thoughts in a lot of people's minds. Although I will say, and you are probably afflicted with this too, Chris, car journalists for some reason have a soft spot for station wagons. Are you one of those people?
Oh my goodness, you have pegged me as one of them, and I am absolutely firmly in that club.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what there is about it. Maybe we like the combination of utility and the fact that it's kind of like a sedan, so it handles more like a car than a crossover does. And that's where the cross country is, too. It's taller than the V60 wagon, so it has a little bit more of the SUV vibe to it, but it is largely a station wagon, competes with the Audi Allroad, for example. And that's maybe the only other example you can come up with. You know, there might be a Volkswagen product that is vaguely competitive as well. it has standard all-wheel drive. It has just the Volvo T5 engine is what you can get in the V60 cross country. That provides 250 horsepower out of 2 liters. Just like every 2 liter from every European manufacturer provides about 250 horsepower. So it's getting to be standardized. It's plain wrap kind of thing. You can't get the other powertrains that you can in the other V60s, and maybe that's okay, but it wouldn't be bad to have a little more power. I think what I like about the V60 cross country in particular is its refinement, and maybe the fact that it's not just another SUV, that it does have some sedan attributes to it. I think the driving experience is pretty good. It's in no way a sports vehicle, but I think if you were to take this on twisty mountain roads, you wouldn't hate yourself at the end of a couple hours or even at the end of 20 minutes, as you would in some other cars. Overall, the fuel economy is pretty good, so not so bad. It is a little less than the V60. It's rated at 22 miles per gallon city, 31 on the highway, and 25 miles per gallon combined, which is neither great nor terrible, I would suppose. And it is a very useful vehicle. You know, I think both of us like station wagons for their utility and certainly get that in the V60 cross country.
I agree. And if hopefully no one from Volvo is listening, but the week that I had the V60 cross country, I used it to haul some patio tiles for the project that we were getting started right when things started shutting down. It handled 1,000 pounds of tiles without a problem. But in normal use, the seats, the front seats are extremely comfortable. Volvo does a great job with ergonomics. The kids had plenty of room in the back, and that's the wagon utility, right? So you fold down the seats, you can throw almost anything back there, fold the seats up, and there's plenty of leg room in the back. So Volvo did a great job. I mean, they've been making wagons for as long as anybody. So I think that they've got it down to a science.
Yeah, absolutely. With the seats folded, there's 50, almost 51 cubic feet of cargo space. That's a lot. That's a lot. Even behind the rear seats, there's 23.2 cubic feet of cargo space. So, you know, this is a very accommodating vehicle. And I like it a lot. It's one of those vehicles we've talked a lot on the show, how everybody in the world doesn't have to have a crossover sport utility. And this is bordering on that, bordering on being a crossover sport utility, but it's really not exactly. And for that, we applaud it. So I think both you, Chris, and I like the Volvo V60 cross country quite a bit.
Yeah, like I said, can't argue with the ability to carry large items and then plenty of people right on the other hand. So I would definitely give it my mark of praise, if you want to call it that.
Ah, the Chris Teague mark of praise. I like
put
that.
My stamp on it. How about that?
There you go. Yeah, get that stamp out. Well, when we come back, we're going to be taking listener questions, and we look forward to that. Hopefully, we can help you out by answering your question on an upcoming show. So stay with us, everybody. This is Jack Nerad along with Chris Teague, and you're listening to America on the Road. Welcome back to America on the Road. This is Jack Nerad back with you, and thanks so much for being with us along with Chris Teague. And it is question and answer time. We solicit your automotive questions and send them to us, and we will provide answers in this portion of the program because it's a logical place to do it. If we're going to have a question and answer segment, well, this is it. So we want to take your automotive questions, and it's easy to reach us with your question. Just email them to editor@drivingtoday.com, editor@drivingtoday.com, and we'll get your question and hopefully answer it on an upcoming show. And Chris, what is your question for us?
I had a question from a listener about hand sanitizer and how dangerous it is to store the alcohol-based products in your car. And over the course of the last week, I've become kind of an impromptu expert on the subject. I had to write an article on it earlier this week, and I talked to a director of safety from the National Fire Prevention Association and had, I guess, what could be called a very interesting discussion about temperatures and flash points. So the long story short is it's not dangerous, not really dangerous to store hand sanitizer in your car. The temperature that is required to flash hand sanitizer is something like 700 degrees Fahrenheit, which at that point, you're looking at a car that is melting itself instead of the hand sanitizer.
Yeah, if your interior is 700 degrees, you're in a world of hurt. I mean, something is going way wrong, and you don't have to worry about the hand sanitizer, I would think, right?
Yeah, there are other problems at that temperature. But like, the big problem with storing hand sanitizer in your car is that the temperature evaporates the alcohol and makes it less effective. So if you start with a 70% hand sanitizer, 70% alcohol over time, it will evaporate and become, you know, 60 and so on and less effective. So the recommendation is if you have to store it in your car, which we all are at this point in time, take a small bottle and refill it at home so you're not carrying the large bottle around and having it dilute itself. But you're not going to burn your car down by carrying hand sanitizer.
Right. Well, you're probably not, even if you light a cigarette in your car, which we don't recommend doing necessarily, but
correct.
Some people do that. What else is in hand sanitizer besides alcohol? There must be some kind of buffering agent or something. Do you know what that might be?
I will admit my ignorance on this subject, but there are ingredients, like some of them that I read about have hydrogen peroxide in them. and some other ingredients that can become less effective in sunlight. So two things that are abundant in a hot car in summer, temperature and sunlight, both work to dilute and kill the effectiveness. So if you have to bring it, bring a small bottle, store it in your glove box, keep it out of the light.
Got it. Well, here's a question that came in, and I think it's very apropos given the fact that we have entered July now. And a lot of people, for various reasons, are thinking if they're going to travel this summer and do any kind of summer vacation, it would be by car or by vehicle. And so the question is this: if you had any vehicle out there to choose for your summer vacation with your family, which would it be, Chris? What would you conjure up as your perfect vacation vehicle?
Wow, out of the entire world of cars and trucks and SUVs, I think I would probably have to settle on the Kia Telluride for a road trip with my family of four. And that does not include bringing our pets, although there would be room for them if we had that vehicle. I think the seats are very comfortable. It's got a lot of entertainment technology, USB ports in the back to keep the iPads charged up, plenty of cargo room, roof rails if you need it for a box on top. And it can tow a trailer, so if we wanted to pull a boat or anything like that, you've got that capability too. So, and I think it looks pretty slick. So it's got kind of an all-around package, and it looks great. And so I think this is probably the second or third time on the show that I've recommended the Telluride, and I'm going to keep going for it every time.
It was North American Utility of the Year for 2020, and I'm on the North American Car of the Year and Utility of the Year jury. So I endorse your choice, although my choice is not the same. I would probably pick either the Chevrolet Tahoe, the NEREd car of choice, or, and as my long-suffering wife knows, having had one for the better part of 20 years now, or the Chevrolet Suburban. Same logical reasons that you have given for the Telluride, but my family's a little bigger, and now the girls are essentially adults, so you want even more room. You know, they're not 4 feet tall, they're 6 feet tall or something like that. So I think those are great family vehicles. If, on the other hand, it's just my wife and myself, well, that's a whole different story. And, you know, maybe a Fiat 124 Spider or, you know, a Corvette, the new mid-engine Corvette.
Yeah, that would be on my list. I think the C8 would be my next choice if it was just the two of us.
Yeah, so those things and more are available, and the beauty of it is we're looking at something between 350 and 400 models available on the U.S. market, so there's something for pretty much everybody out there. Well, when we come back, we will be speaking with Brian Bell. He is the marketing manager on the all-new Ford F-150 for 2021. We'll have a lengthy interview with him, so stay with us for that. And thanks for being with us on America on the Road. I'm Jack NEREd. With me is Chris Teague, and we appreciate the fact you're listening. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack NEREd back with you, and I have the honor, and it is a distinct honor, to have the guest that we're having next. His name is Brian Bell. He is the Ford F-150 marketing manager, and as he and I were just chatting before we went on the air, it isn't every day that you get to announce a new Ford F-150, and that's what we're going to be talking about. So we're going to be talking about the 2021 Ford F-150, which is significantly renewed, that is for certain. And Brian, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you very much, Jack. I'm excited and happy to be here to talk about the new truck.
Yeah, let's set the stage a little bit, if you don't mind. I mean, F-150 is a real franchise player for Ford Motor Company. Kind of describe for our listeners how important this vehicle is to the future of the whole company.
Well, you know, the F-Series trucks have been the sales leader in the industry for 43 years. It's been the number one selling vehicle in the United States for 38 years, right? It's a big volume, very exciting product for the company to launch. And as the F-150 marketing manager, I'm very excited to be a part of this launch and get a chance to talk about it and bring this vehicle to market. But it is important for the company, as all of our vehicle launches are. And we're excited to get it out there.
Well, let's walk our listeners through what's new with the truck. because there's a lot to talk about, and we want to cover it in some kind of detail. Why don't you take us to the first place you'd like to take us? What is the first thing that you think listeners should know about the new truck?
Well, you know, I think it's important to know this is an all new F-150, so it's it's got an all new frame and that's high strength steel, and then it's a new body panels or new body. That's the high-strength military-grade aluminum alloy body. So we stuck with our metal strategy we launched in 2015. That's been really, really good for our customers, right? That weight savings we found turned into more capability and better fuel economy. So, we're continuing with that approach, which we're really excited about. And then it's an all-new truck with a lot of great features, all-new design on the exterior, all-new interior that's just fantastic with a lot of great things. And I think one of the ones that most people are going to be most excited about is our new engine. So along with this new launch in 21 model year, we're launching our first hybrid in the truck called Power Boost. I'm really excited to bring this to market. We think this is a real and solution powertrain for our customers because, we expect this Power Boost to have the best horsepower and torque in the segment. It's going to be our most powerful engine. It's going to tow over 12,000 pounds. It's going to get great fuel economy at the same time. And it's got a new feature we're calling Pro Power on board, which actually lets the vehicle become like a generator for you. So our Power Boost will come standard with a 2.4 kilowatt generator version, and then you can option up to a 7.2 kilowatt version. And to kind of put that into perspective, 7.2 kilowatts will run, I think it's 28 refrigerators at the same time, right? So it's really, really powerful, really capable. So you put all that together, really excited to bring this this new engine Power Boost to market on our all-new truck.
Right. I mean, if power goes out at my home, I want to have that 2021 F-150 in the driveway to power my entire house, it sounds like, right?
Well, there's some rules on powering houses, but it certainly has a lot of power to plug in your specific things, and take care of whatever your needs might be on the individual items.
Yeah. Let's talk about, I know Ford Motor Company has a particular strategy when it comes to hybrid powertrains and vehicles powered by hybrids, and that they have the same capabilities, at least the same capabilities as a normal ICE powered vehicle would have without the hybrid. Talk a bit about that and, what went into the thinking behind the new full hybrid that's in the F-150.
You know, we did a lot of research on the hybrid and what customers would want, what they would expect out of the engine. And just like when we brought EcoBoost to market in 2011, the customers really told us, look, the most important part is what the engine will do for me. I buy a truck because I need a truck. And my truck has to do those truck things, whether it's for work or for recreation. It's doing things like, towing. I'll give you an example, over 75% of our customers tow a trailer. So, those types of things are really important. And so when we looked at the engine, we said it needs to be a great truck powertrain. So it starts with our 3.5 liter EcoBoost and then adds that hybrid capability to it as well. And so we really kind of focused on like I said before, the AND solution. We wanted to make sure it had all that great capability, which, when you've got a powertrain that'll do over 12,000 pounds of towing, that's a strong motor for a half-ton truck. And then, like I said, we're going to end up with a great fuel economy as well on top of it. So,
yeah, and giant range. I think that's important too. I think I noted something like 700 miles of range on a tank full. I mean, that's got to help just in and of itself. I mean, people will love that.
Yeah, great point. Yes, it will. It'll have an available range over 700 miles.
Well, you talked a bit about how this is certainly a work truck. I mean, a lot of people are buying these for dual use, for personal use and for work. But, talk about some of the work truck capabilities of the new F-150.
Well, it's we've added some new class exclusive driver assist features that are going to help with all customers. We've added an interesting, I guess, work feature that you might talk about is we went out and researched customers and really paid attention to what they did with their vehicles. We actually went out and didn't quite live with it, but we went and spent days with them doing their work and their recreational activities to kind of see how they used vehicles. In one example, I actually went with a retired firefighter in Texas, spent 2 days with him. One day we actually went boating out on the lake he goes to so I could see how he launches his boat, what he does with it. So it was really fascinating. So we spent a lot of time learning about our customers.
Well, and I think it's very strategic that you have the guy go on the boat. I mean, that sounds like nice recreation as you're working and on the clock. So smart idea.
It, It was just a short trip, but it wasn't a bad hour. I will tell you, it was a nice day in Texas at that time. So, one of the things we witnessed with customers is about half of them actually use like a laptop or a tablet or something in their truck, and they have to come up with these makeshift kind of ways to use that. So, our engineering team went out and developed our interior work surface, which is actually like we have two versions. We have the version with our bench seat that will fold down in the middle and slide forward and gives a nice big, working tray basically for you to put your laptop, tablet, or eat on. And in our vehicles with the bucket seats and our flow through shifter, our floor shifter, the shifter will actually fold down into the console flat, and our console will open up and become a tray table there for you. So our interior work surface is a great example of listening to the customers, watching how they use their truck, and trying to find a better solution for them to make it more functional. So that's just a really good example of the work we've gone into and the details we paid attention to in this truck.
Right. Well, it seems like in pickup trucks, there's a bit of tailgate wars going on, right? I mean, some competitors have some pretty trick tailgates these days, and you've got some answers to that, too. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yep. So, we started with the tailgate stuff back in, I think it was 2008 now. And that's been a great feature for us, our customers, to get in and out of the bed of the truck. They've told us for years they love it. And so we've taken that and kind of expanded on it. We now have a new tailgate work surface available on our vehicle that's a nice flat work surface. It's got a spot to actually hold like a tablet or a phone so you can look at the instructions or something you're working on. It's got clamp pockets so you can actually put clamps in the tailgate to hold down like a piece of wood that you want to cut, measure, something like that. It's got, built-in tape measures. It's actually even has one of the things I like the most is it's got these little tie-downs on the side of it, one on each side. So you can actually use a tie-down anything that you're pulling, like if you're hauling long lumber in your truck where your tailgate's down, you can actually tie it down on the tailgate to help stabilize that load as well. So, again, more really thoughtful features. And then you think about that tailgate work surface tied to our new ProPower onboard system, which I mentioned with the hybrid. We also have available on gas engines, our 2.7, 5-liter and 3.5 EcoBoost. So you can actually plug in your tools right there at the back of the truck, do whatever work you need to clamp down that lumber, cut it, drill it, saw it, again, paying attention to the customer, really kind of thinking of those ways to help them make the truck a better tool for whatever job they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely makes sense. We did talk about the hybrid engine, which I guess is going to be your top engine in this vehicle. But of course, F-150, many, many variations, that's for certain. Talk a bit about various powertrains available.
Yeah, so we have six powertrains on the F-150. We have our 3.3 liter, our base V6. That gets an improvement for 21 model year because we're going to add our 10-speed transmission to it. So that efficiency is going to come for that powertrain with that. We have our 2.7 liter EcoBoost, which is one of our top sellers. We have our 5-liter V8 for those customers that really want that V8 power. We've got a great 5-liter for them with all the V8 sounds and the capability of it. That 5-liter is actually going to get displacement on demand, so variable cylinder deactivation, I should say, to improve with the fuel economy. Then we have our 3.5 EcoBoost, again, the one we launched in 2011. It's been a great powertrain for us, tons of capability. That actually improves a little bit. We're doing some things to it that'll give it some additional horsepower, torque, and capability for 21. And then we have our diesel. So we have our 3-liter power stroke diesel that we launched in 2018, continuing in 21 model year. So, you take those five engines in the hybrid, we've got a great six powertrain lineup for our customers that really kind of fits anything our customers need, right? We like to think of our vehicle as the power of choice so that, it doesn't matter what you're looking for in a truck, we make sure we have it for you from the powertrain and from our series lineup, right? Starting at work truck all the way up to our limited, we have six series for you. We really work at that for our customers to make sure they have what they want.
Yeah, I think that's certainly one of the strengths of the F-150 is the number of variations. And of course, one of the reasons you're able to do that is you're the leading vehicle in the segment. You got a lot of volume and you have a lot of variations. In reading through the press material, I was fascinated to see that you have 11 separate grill options, for example. Talk a bit about the exterior and various options available for the consumer.
Sure. So like I said, we have six series in the lineup, our XL, XLT, Lariat, King Ranch Platinum Limited that we're launching. And then within those series, we actually have appearance packages because we find customers really, they like that different look. So, XLT is our biggest volume So I'll use that one for an example. A customer can come in the showroom. They can choose the base XLT look. They can choose the chrome look, which is a chrome grille, chrome wheels, chrome running boards, a few more chrome pieces like tow hooks and exhaust tips, right? We pay attention to the details of it. That's been a really popular package for us for years. But in the industry now, there's a lot of movement towards darker, more aggressive finishes. We call that our sport package. So that customer will get a dark grille, dark wheels, black running boards, you know, those touches that kind of give that more aggressive dark look. So a customer can come in and choose from any of those appearances on our XLT or, frankly, on our Lariat that they like. And then we also have a, you know, different versions like on our King Ranch of a base and a chrome package, and we have our STX that brings in some of those aggressive looks on the at the lower end of our lineup for customers as well. So we do a lot of things, not just with our series, but then those appearance packages within them to really give those customers choices.
Right. We're speaking with Brian Bell. He is Ford F-150 Marketing Manager. So happy to have him on the show. Let's talk about infotainment. I think another battleground in the pickup truck realm has been infotainment systems, screen size, screen orientation. Tell us a bit about that with the new 2021 Ford F-150.
Yeah, so you know, we've talked to customers and looked at what they do with their trucks, and we're really excited for 21 model year that sync will be standard on all of our vehicles. The sync system's been great, right, from an infotainment perspective for customers. And so with that, we're going to make our 8-inch touchscreen standard for all our vehicles. So right from our entry-level work truck, that customer is going to get that nice big touchscreen, you know, that's going to show the backup camera great. It's going to have that functionality of the touchscreen in it. Key with that also is our truck customers. They you know, they like to make sure they have some controls that they can use with gloves, and so we put some hard buttons and knobs in to tie with it for some basic radio and climate control functions. Then starting in our XLT lineup, we actually have our new screen, our new 12-inch touchscreen, which is really fantastic, right? Because it allows that split screen look, so you can do multiple things with it at once.
And you're laying it out in landscape orientation, yeah, which is different than some of the other trucks. Talk a bit about that too.
Yeah. So again, it goes back to the customer paying attention to them. What do they do? What do they like? How do they use their truck? And that thing I just pointed out earlier, where they really want to make sure that there's some controls, that the stuff they use regularly, they can use with their gloves on. So we put it in landscape orientation for them, so that left us enough real estate underneath for logical radio, climate control, knobs and buttons, right where customers expect them and are used to them. So we really think that's going to be a great setup. And research, the customers really just loved it. You know, the big screen, very functional, very easy to use, very visible, and then the really simple controls underneath.
Brian, as marketing manager, you know, you've lived with the truck for a while now, and you know, helped with the development, I'm sure, and participated and looked at everything that the truck can do. What are some of the areas that are most exciting to you personally, or you really think are home runs in this new 2021 F-150?
I think some of the things that are really exciting that we haven't covered so far, like our connectivity and our driver assist features that we're bringing into the truck. So, you know, the F-150 is going to be fully over-the-air update capable for the full truck. So all the working systems in the truck will be able to actually, you know, provide customers with over-the-air updates. And then we developed an over-the-air update system that really will minimize any downtime for customers. A lot of cases, they won't even know it's happening, and they can control then to just hit the button to load it. So that over-the-air update, that connectivity is really, really a big benefit for our customers. You know, it's going to let us update their vehicles for them, make them better throughout the life cycle. And then, you know, some of the other things are our driver assist features. We've got some great new features coming, like our intelligent adaptive cruise control that includes lane centering and street sign recognition to help you control your speeds, and reverse brake assist, and post-collision braking, and evasive steering assist, and then one of the really exciting ones coming for the truck is active drive assist. We will have a system that on certain sections of highway, you'll actually be able to take your hands off the wheel, and the truck will steer for you down the highway. Now, we'll have a camera system in the vehicle to make sure you're paying attention to the road in case anything comes up that you need to react to. But, you know, it's a really exciting feature for customers. Well, we're launching that. So at launch of the vehicle, the customers can get a driver assist prep package. They can choose to order that, and then and that's on our Lariat King Ranch Platinum and Limited series. And then when the feature software becomes available next year, then they can choose to purchase that software download if they like through the over-the-air update. So, you know, it's like the first sign of how that over-the-air update system can benefit customers and a new technology that we think truck customers are going to really love to help take some fatigue out of those long drives.
Right. Well, it all sounds very exciting. I can't wait to get behind the wheel of not just one, but several F-150s and, you know, try them out, do some trailer towing and all the stuff that you do with a wonderful big truck like the Ford F-150. Tell our listeners when the vehicles will be in showrooms.
Well, we expect them in the showrooms later this year in the late fall, early winter time frame.
Terrific. Terrific. Anything else you'd like to add before we let you go?
No, just, you know, I'm excited to get this truck out there for customers to see and hear their reactions to it. And, you know, I appreciate you having me on the show today to be able to talk about it.
Well, such a pleasure. I appreciate it. Brian Bell, Ford F-150 Marketing Manager, has been with us. Thanks so much, Brian, for being with us.
Oh, thank you. Really appreciate it.
We'll be right back after this on America on the Road. And that was our interview with Brian Bell of Ford, talking about the all-new 2021 F-150 pickup truck. Very, very important vehicle for Ford Motor Company. We appreciate Brian being with us. And another guy we appreciate being with us is Chris Teague. Thanks so much for being with us and co-hosting again this week, Chris.
Jack, as always, thank you for suffering through my hot takes and unpopular opinions. But before we go, I'll remind everybody, if you like what you listen to today, wherever you get your podcast, leave us a review and rate us. It will help us bump up the charts and become even more popular.
More popular than we are seems hard to imagine, but I guess it could be done. And we certainly hope for that. And thanks again so much, Chris, for being with us. Thank you, all your listeners, for being with us. We do appreciate that. And we hope you join us again next time right here on America on the Road. We're sponsored, of course, by drivingtoday.com. So check that out and join us again when we come back in our next episode. This is Jack Nerad.